You are about to receive a word in season from Bishop Samuel Beidou. Bishop Samuel is the resident pastor of the Word of Life Cathedral, Takrady. Get ready for an impartation as the Word of God comes. Now, today's message.
Lift your two hands to the Lord. Father, we thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning where we have prayer in this house, where there is word, there is prayer, there is music, there is dancing. We want to say thank you so much for this great privilege you've given us to be here, to be in your presence, to hear you and to commune with you and to fellowship with you. Father, Lord, I pray that you will open our eyes at this very moment, that we will behold wonderful things out of your law, out of your word. May our lives be transformed. May we see beautiful things. May we see wonderful things as your word comes forth. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here with us to bless our lives and to transform our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray, and everybody shouted a very loud amen. Amen. I said a shout of amen. Amen. Clap your hands together for Jesus. You may please be seated. Wow. It's been a long time we saw rains like this. It's a blessing. Amen. I'm talking about the blood of Jesus. Now, this morning I'm talking about why the blood of Jesus is precious blood. Why the blood of Jesus is precious blood. Amen. Why the blood of Jesus is precious blood. It's precious. And if you look into the Bible, let's read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, which you received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus." Everybody say, "But with the precious blood of Jesus Christ." You know, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spots." Wow. The blood without blemish, the blood without spots. There's no sin. There's nothing. And Hebrews chapter 9, we'll read another scripture. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 to 14. "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and of calves," say not with the blood of goats and calves, say not with the blood of goats. But the Bible says that by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ?" Somebody say, "How much more shall the blood of Christ?" "Who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." Hallelujah. Now, this is a very beautiful scripture telling us how precious the blood of Jesus is. See, the Bible is revealing to us here that the blood is important. The blood of Jesus is important. So, if we look at history, history has talked a lot about the works of Jesus Christ. If you look at the different parts of the church history has seen different emphasis on the person of Christ. If you take Jesus Christ is, he is known by his works. That is one of the things you know about Jesus Christ. You know him by his words. That's also, and you also know the principles of Jesus Christ. Jesus has put down a lot of principles. He's said so many things, you know. about principles. Jesus Christ talked about faithfulness in Luke chapter 16. He talks about faithfulness. He who is faithful with another man's own. He says that he who is not faithful with another man's, who shall give him what belongs to him? He talks about he who is faithful with unrighteous mammon. He who is faithful with unrighteous mammon. Or he who is not faithful with unrighteous mammon, who shall give him true riches? These are principles. He who is not faithful with little things, he that is faithful with little things will be given much. He talks about all these things. They are all in Luke 16. He talks in Luke 14. He talks about these are principles you can use for life. You can use it in your business. You can apply it. If you want to promote somebody, look at the person who has been faithful with little things. You give him much, he'll be faithful in much. Usually, he follows that pattern. You tell people to do things. You tell somebody who cannot sweep. He feels too big to sweep. Then he's too big to also manage the whole place because he's too big to sweep. So these are principles. You look at Luke chapter 14, 28. He talks about building a tower. He says, which of you intending to build a tower? Sitteth not down first and counted the cost, if you have sufficient to finish it. He's talking about building. Whatever you want to do, how far do you want to go? How high do you want to go? You have to think about it. You have to think about how deep you have to go to build that high. Do you understand it? So these are different things that many, many things with the parables. You know, the parable, Jesus talked about a story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Downwards, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, there are so many principles you can look into, you can glean from Luke chapter 15, verse 11. You know, there are principles there. So these are things that are beautiful, beautifully laid out. You can look at them. You can look at even doing business with some of these principles. A lot of business things are here. Financial things. How you can eventually manage your finances. Do you get it? Now, these are things that Jesus said. Principles that can be gleaned. Now we have the works of Jesus Christ. Jesus did some works. So, if you look at his works, when I say works, what did he do? Luke chapter, in Acts, the Bible talks about the things Jesus both did and taught. You see, so what he did. So you look about his doings. He woke up early to go and pray. In the morning, waking up or getting up very early in the morning, he departed into a solitary place and prayed. He fasted. Jesus' life had fastings. So if you're a person who doesn't fast, Jesus fasted. You better change your ways. Tell somebody you better change your ways. If you're following Jesus, you have to learn how to fast. Yes, you must fast. Jesus fasted. These are the things he did. Jesus Christ went to church. If you are not into going to church, Jesus went to church. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue. It's basic things. Like, that's why the song that our sister sang, like Sunday mornings, is a very good song. He went to the synagogue. Jesus went to church. When he was here on earth, he went to church. Although the leaders of the church and there were problems in the synagogue, he went there. He still went to church. Tell somebody he still went to church. Your reasons for not coming to church, there are certain things in the church. Master, please. Catch a woman there, backsliding. You are backsliding. There's no reason why you should stay in the house. There's no reason. You are backsliding. Just say it bluntly. I'm going to be blunt about it. You are backsliding. Yeah, you are backsliding. That's why you can't see anything good about the church. You see only problems. You are backsliding. Eric Carson, what kind of an actress? You're going back. So, Jesus, these are the things Jesus did. Jesus went about preaching. Do you get it? He preached. Jesus preached. So, if you look at his works, so you can just live your life by doing what Jesus did. Or you can study what Jesus did and then do what you have to do. So, that's the works of Jesus Christ. We have the words. And then Jesus preached. So if Jesus preached, he said so many things. He preached. Actually, he didn't preach till he was anointed, 30 years old. Then he started preaching. He preached. And then he went to the cross. 33 and a half years, he just went to the cross and then he died. Now, these are important. The words of Jesus Christ are very important. Modern Bibles have read in red the words of Jesus Christ. That is telling us about how special his words are. Jesus' words are important. He says, my words shall, in heaven and earth shall pass away, but not a jot or a tittle in my words shall, whatever. It's like it's never going to, even the dots. It's very important. One day I was studying some important things in the Jewish tradition and all that. Little things, that's why a jot and a tittle, those things are important. He said that great things happen or start with dots. Great words, great things. And they said, that is why Jesus starts with a dot. If you write J, there's a dot up there. It's a dot. Jesus, Israel, dot. Are the great places, some great names. Jerusalem, dot. Are you understand what I'm saying? You see, you don't know these things. That's why you have to come to church. Great things start with dots. Amen. My name starts with a dot. Actually, the E is not the original Emmanuel. The original Emmanuel is an I. It starts with a dot. Haya Masaka Haya. Great names. They start with a dot. It's actually I am Emmanuel. I am M. Yes, yeah, so great name. So I don't know what your name is. You better start with a dot. Ignatius starts with a I. Jonathan starts with a dot. Come on now. I think that's it. Come on. I don't know what name your parents gave you, but you better go and look for a dot to start. Oh, man. So that's why a dot, it says a jot, and those things are important. So what I'm saying is that there are these things about Jesus Christ. But Jesus preached, Jesus taught. The words are important. Jesus' words are important. What did he say? What he said must be important. What he said must be important. That's why when you read your Bible, look out for what he said. What did Jesus say about any topic? About anything. Jesus Christ said, for what is a man profited? Jesus said this. Matthew 16, 26. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? These are some of the things Jesus said that I think humanity must be pondering on. Everybody is chasing after money. But look at what he said in Matthew chapter 16. Don't you think it is worth considering? It is not worth considering. What is a man profit? What is the profit of everything if you lose your soul? If you lose it. Or you want to exchange your soul for what? For a cup of tea. Or for a plate of meal. For a job. For a phone. For what? Do you understand it? So this is what the Bible is saying. These are the words of Jesus. It's worth considering. Very important words. So that's why the Bible has in red now the words of Jesus Christ in red. Because they are very important words. Just listening to those words are going to change your whole life. Hallelujah. But listen. After Jesus preached, Jesus Christ, by his word, he taught us how you can be saved. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. He said that, he's taught us how. And that is why he had to go to the cross. He had to end at a point. He didn't go everywhere preaching. He decided to die on the cross for his blood to flow. Because he knows that after all the preaching is meant to direct you to a place where you must accept the blood. And you must receive the blood. Because there's power in the blood. Tell somebody there's power in the blood. So for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with blood of... you are not redeemed with corruptible things. Corruptible things are the things I'm talking about. Shoes and cars. I mean, you have brought a car to give to maybe God so that you'll be saved. No. He did not give a car for our salvation. He did not offer us cars that, this car will atone for your sins. And you are trying to give him a car for your salvation. Have you heard that before? No, it's not the case at all. So we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. These things cannot redeem us. It cannot. Anything that is precious here cannot give you salvation. Anything precious you see
on the car park, the buses and everything, all put together and quantified and put into monetary value, cannot save you. For as much as we know, I don't know whether you know. I don't know. The Bible is saying much that you know, but do you know? Did you know? Ask your neighbor, did you know this? As much as you know, how much of it do you know? For as much, how much of it do you know that gold cannot save you? How much? It shows by your behavior. It shows by how much you attach a certain level of importance to these physical things, these corruptible things, these things that can perish, perishable things, perishable phones and perishable shoes, perishable clothes, perishable food, meals, whatever you call it, perishable, perishable, perishable. You call, gold and silver is perishable. Perishable. How much of this revelation is in you? How much of it is revealed to you? It will show how you live your life. To make you walk in a certain way, to make you act in a certain way. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus died and went to the cross. Jesus died and went to the cross. When it was time, he died and went to the cross. And his blood began to flow. He shed his blood. Hallelujah. He shed his blood for us. And that is why it's important to know about the blood of Jesus Christ. Why is this blood so precious? Why is this blood so important? Hallelujah. So quickly, I'm going to go through some few things about different types of blood. Okay? And why these different types of blood, they are not able to do certain things. And why the blood of Jesus Christ is superior. Okay? Let's go into that. Let's go into that. I'm going to give you blood, because a lot of people have shed their blood. You know, when the war, Israel, the current war with Hamas. Is it Hamas? Yes, Hamas. The current war. You know, a lot of people volunteered, said on any day they should be called, they will go and fight. They spoke. Like, old, in fact, they recruited even military men that were on, that had gone on maybe retirement and all that. So they want to offer their services. They want to die for their nation. But see, when you die in such a war, it cannot save the world. It cannot save anybody. It can do something, but it cannot atone for your sins. The blood of such a good man who has given himself to die for his country cannot pay for your sins and for my sins. So we are going to go into certain types of blood that, you know, Bible talks about different types of blood. The Bible talks about the blood of war. The blood of war. There's blood of war. But that blood of war does not talk much. It does not speak much. Let's read about it. Moreover, 1 Kings chapter 2 verse 5. Thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me. What he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner the son of Ner, and unto Amasa the son of Jetha, who he slew, and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet. So there's a blood of war. He's just talking about the blood of war. He's not even talking about the effect of the blood of war per se here. It's like he just put that blood on himself. It's a blood of war. Blood that is shed at war. What does it do? You don't know. Not much. That's somebody, not much. Not much. You are not mentioned here. You are not mentioned here. Your name is not here. What have you got to do with the blood of war? You. What has your sins got to do with the blood of war? No. It's not here. The blood of Naboth. Have you heard of Naboth? Naboth is the man that Ahab killed and took his field. Naboth. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 19. You should speak unto him, saying, thus says the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus says the Lord, in the place where the dog licked the blood of Naboth, shall dog lick thy blood, even thine. Now, this is just talking about this was how Jezebel was killed. Jezebel. Jezebel caused the death of Naboth by influencing the husband. Tell somebody, watch the woman you marry. Watch the woman you marry. If you don't marry the right person, you'll be influenced to commit murder right now. There are two ladies in the Bible like that. Very wild women. They didn't commit the murder. They go through the place of power. You know, Jezebel is not from Israel. Did you know that? Jezebel is not from Israel. Jezebel was married. That's why he brought pagan worship into Israel. He was married from outside. No, kings used to marry. He was like the princess of another nation. And was the firstborn or something, the lady who was given. And sometimes the princess was like the priestess to the god. So there was something like that, like she was a priestess to the god of their nation. And they were into such worship. And also they were also into profane things. Like a lot of what we have today is believed to have started from Jezebel. Like pornography, they were into nudity and all that. That was the god of Jezebel. Nudity, they used to sacrifice a lot of that, like be nude to that god. And she was believed to be the priestess, and then was married to Ahab. And when she came, she brought that worship into Israel, and they started worshiping Baal. It was not, you see, that when you read the story of Baal and then Ahab, you don't even know how the king of Israel was related to that. It was the woman who brought that worship. Do you understand it? So you don't really get it. So that's the story about Jezebel. And Jezebel just worked through power. That's about the power. So she used the husband and they killed. She came home one day. She saw that the king was very sad and sullen, and said, why are you sad as a king? The king was just sad. You tell somebody there are days you would not feel happy. But if you don't meet the right person, you take the wrong step. You see, so then the king said, oh, I just spoke to Naboth. I like the garden. I wanted to compensate him with another piece of land. So the king tried but did not succeed. So when he came home, he was sad. You know, sometimes when you like something, you don't get it, you can feel sad. The Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Mm-hmm. You were hoping, your dream was to have this, and you didn't get it. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. So his heart was sick. When he went home, then the queen, Jezebel, said, but why should the king be sad? The whole place is yours. So the guy's land, it was a, just kill him and then just take his place if he won't give you. And that's how eventually Ahab murdered Naboth and took the field. So that is the prophecy that came to her. And that's how she was killed. She had to fall. She fell down and splash, and then dogs came. This prophecy happened just like that. He fell down from the top. That's how Jezebel died. No, Jezebel didn't die immediately after. Jezebel was around for three different kings. Yes, Jezebel, after Ahab died, the next king was like Ahab's son or something. He was still in the, she was still in the palace, and there was another. That one didn't keep long. There was another heir that was coming out of like one of the children or something. And so she was around. So it was the third one, during the third one, that she died. She fell. The prophecy, just like the prophecy, she fell down and the dogs had to come and lick. That's according to the prophecy. Kata nabazataba. May you fulfill good prophecies.
Amen.
Something was spoken before and it happened just like, how was it even orchestrated? It was a prophecy of God. Hallelujah. So he says that just like that. You see, so the blood of Naboth, this is what happened. When you shed innocent blood, this is what can happen to you. Your blood will be shed. And there was a type of death that was prescribed. Okay? So I'm talking about the blood of Naboth. The blood of Naboth is not related to Pastor Tony. I don't know what Naboth is doing in your life. I don't know whether you have prayed to in the name of the blood of the blood of Naboth. I mean, do you use the blood of Naboth when you are praying? No. Yes, because you know that the blood of Naboth is not that powerful. There are a lot of bloods to describe here. And we have the blood of the scapegoats. Listen to this. And he shall go out, Leviticus chapter 16, verse 18. He shall go out unto the altar that is before God and make an atonement for it. And he shall take up the blood of a bullock and the blood of a goat and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle the blood upon it with his finger 7 times and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he had made an end to the reconciling of the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all the transgressions of the sins, putting them upon the head of the goat. Then thou shalt send him away by the hand of the fit man into the wilderness, and the goat shall bear upon all the iniquities unto the land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat into the wilderness. Now let me explain this. This goat was supposed to take the sins of... I'll explain something to you. Tell somebody revelation. Insight. Now, the goats, these are the ordinances in the Old Testament. Okay, the ordinances in the Old Testament were supposed to be the case that Aaron, when they are doing the things, there are so many things, the ordinances, say ordinances. There's so many things that were supposed to be done. So, apart from the bullock that is sacrificed and all that, so a sacrifice is made. There was a scapegoat. And the scapegoat was supposed to take, they put the hand on it, and then they confess, all your sins will come into the goat, and then they will leave the goat to go to the wilderness. Hello? Now, let me tell you why. Who was released from prison for Jesus Christ to die? There was somebody. What was his name? What was his name? Barabbas. Now, look for Barabbas. I'll show you something. Barabbas. Okay, I want the meaning of Barabbas in the Greek. Look for the meaning. I'll tell you something. If you get it, put it up. I'll show you. You see, when Jesus was about to be crucified, he was the scapegoat. So they knew, the people knew about the scapegoat. Jesus was the, it's also like parabolic. Look at it. So one person needed to be released for something. So the goat goes for all the sins. So Jesus Christ was there. So who should be killed? One goat must be released, one must be killed. Either Jesus dies, you see that the goat that was supposed to be released, one goat is killed, one goat is gone. One is killed, one is kept. And the priest will have to put his hand on it and confess all the sins of the others on that one that is set free. Barabbas was the one that was released. If Barabbas had been killed, Jesus would have been free. So the people, when they chose, they didn't know that they were choosing an Old Testament scripture. And Barabbas, wait, you are not there yet. Don't clap. Don't clap. If you clap, you'll miss what we are saying. Now, give us Barabbas, the meaning of Barabbas. Jesus is the Son of God, right? Who has seen it? Pastor Emmanuel, it's your wedding time, but if you've seen it, you can say it. The meaning of Barabbas. The meaning of Barabbas. If we don't have good Bibles, though, click on Barabbas and look for the, click on it, you will see the meaning of Barabbas. Huh? Who has it? Please stand up. Stand up and say it. Shout out. The Son of the Father. The Son of who? And Jesus was the Son of who? The name of Barabbas is almost like the Son of God, the Son of the Father. So when one was released, the other one, they didn't know that it was a prophecy. The scapegoat story is the Son of the Father. Who is the Son of the Father? Is this not the Son of the Father? So they were releasing another Son of the Father. Instead of having Jesus Christ, but Jesus' blood must go. So there were two goats. One must be released, one must be spared. Two sons of the Father, but the one, Jesus Christ was the one that was, I don't think you get it. When you go home, go and study it. When you go home, listen to it again. When you go home, go and listen to the message. What I'm saying is that there was something happening in the realms of the spirit. They didn't even know that the name of Barabbas is Son of the Father. And Jesus is also the Son of God, the Son of the Father. So two sons of the fathers were presented, and they chose Barabbas. And Jesus had to die. The one scapegoat They rather made Barabbas be the scapegoat. Who wouldn't die? And Jesus would die. Uh-huh. It's the same. That's a story. The Jews have this. Are you understand what I'm saying? But the scapegoat was supposed to take away sins in the Old Testament. I know people are confused. You don't understand it, but pray for revelation. Pray. It is just to say that so many things are happening in your life. You don't know you are fulfilling scripture. They didn't know they were fulfilling Leviticus chapter 16 when they were releasing Barabbas. They were releasing Barabbas. But they didn't know they were fulfilling scripture, that they were releasing that goat that should go. So one son of the father has to be released. One son of the father had to be killed. And that's why it was not a goat and a sheep. There were two of them who were all called. So the name actually is something that you should, that identifies the two as almost the same. Yes. It's not by coincidence that man is called son of the father. And another son of the father is standing there. If they had known. For had they known, they wouldn't have crucified the Prince of Glory, the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 downwards. They wouldn't have known. Had they known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of Glory. They wouldn't have. The blood of the scapegoat was taking away the sins of the Israelites. And then the blood of Abner. All right. Afterwards went David. The last one I'll give you is the blood of Abner. When David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. When Abner was killed, David did not order that. Joab killed Abner. When he made peace with Abner, Joab felt that he didn't deserve to live. So he went behind the king and smote Abner. And David declared, the blood of Abner. But the blood of Abner has no mention of Wilhelmina. There's no Wilhelmina in it. Amen. Now let's come to the blood of Jesus. Why the blood of Jesus is precious? For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Things that can be corrupted. Blood. There's blood that gets corrupted. Blood that is corrupted, that cannot be used. Blood. I mean, they will never transfuse an HIV blood to somebody. It's not, unless they don't know. Reverend Eric, is this not your work? Don't you reject a lot of the blood things that are coming? Don't you? Yeah, they have to. Do you find HIV in people's blood? Sometimes you find other diseases. That makes it impossible for that blood to be used because it is a dangerous blood. They will kill. They will give you death instead of life. Yes. They will give you death. Corruptible. Now listen to this. The blood of Jesus is precious and important. Why? Tell somebody why. Leviticus chapter 17 verse 11. Number one. God revealed the importance of blood through the prophet Moses and therefore commanded that blood should not be eaten. For the life of the flesh. Leviticus 17 talks about blood. He says, Leviticus 17, 11 says, for the life of the flesh. Look at your flesh. There's something happening here. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar. The life of your flesh. Is it there? Let's read it. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for the soul. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for your souls. The blood of the flesh. I mean, the life of the flesh. For the life of the flesh. The life of the flesh is in the blood. For the life of every flesh. You see this flesh. If this flesh must have life, it has to do with the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for the soul. He has revealed the importance of blood through the prophet Moses and commanded that nobody should eat blood. And he says that the verse 12 says that, therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul shall eat of the blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among it eat blood. So, because the life of every flesh is in the blood. See, so he says, don't eat the blood. Don't take in blood. Don't drink it. Don't put it in. Don't make it a meal and eat it. Because the flesh, that's the flesh of somebody that you are taking in there. That was revealed to Moses. Blood is important. Tell somebody blood is important. Hello? Blood is is important because it contains the life. When you see blood, you see life. That's life. Mm-hmm. God revealed it to Moses and commanded, don't eat blood. Number two. Long before medical science discovered it, Moses taught us that blood, the blood of a person, contained his life. Long before medical science came on the scene, God has taught us that the life of everybody that you see is in the blood. So you see somebody who is writing and is alive because blood is flowing. If we pour out all the blood in this man, this reverend minister here, into a bucket. Reverend Eric, how many pints of blood will we find in a man like this? Seven. Between 5 to 7. So when you pour everything, you get like 7. Then he will die. May you not die in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
7. So if you pour the blood into a bucket, now everything goes into the bucket, and the blood is finished in the man, he's finished. Medical science has proven that. You know, these days when there's surgery, they ask for blood. Normally there's blood around. There's blood. They want somebody's going to give birth, so there should be blood around. They keep asking for, because things happen, and there's a need for blood, and they'll be running around looking for blood. If the blood is not available, the person can die, because you need it, because the life is in the blood, not the hand. Tell somebody it's not in the hand. You can lose a finger, but you'll be alive. Your finger, they can cut 2 fingers. You'll be, your hand, they can even cut off your hand. You'll be alive. Hello? We can cut off one of your legs. One of your legs and go off. One day, somebody called me. And then she said she was pregnant. Are you there? And then she said, she has gone to the hospital. And when she went to the hospital, she saw a doctor. And she did a lab test. And when they checked, she had, her HCB was 4. Then I said, hey! You mean 4 points? I said, 4? She said, yes. I said, and the doctor allowed you to go home. How? I said, which hospital did you go to? And the doctor saw the blood test. You went to do a lab test of HCB. Level was 4. And the doctor said, go home. Take these pills and go and rest. I said, I was afraid. Then I called Reverend Eric. I called Reverend Eric and I called 2 doctors. That we must have... I'm not a specialist, but we must have a specialist meeting right now. Because this girl can die. And we arranged, and immediately arranged, come here now. But we did whatever. I felt it was a lie. I was not even in Jakarta. I was in a meeting in Accra. And my phone had even been off. So when I turned my phone on, my phone was somewhere. So I just came, I saw so many things. Many calls. So I called back, I got this, and I was even going into another meeting. So I intentionally made the emergency call with Pastor Reverend Eric, and then locked us. And I said, go and see this person. And then I left it. This was a lie. Actually, it was a lie. But you see, because a certain level of blood in you means that you're almost dead. If it comes down to like 2, somebody, a member of ours, the blood of the mother was always coming down to a certain level. And she eventually died, because it was coming to 2, 3. There was a sickness that made her blood level always low. And at the point when it came down to 4, 3, 2. She was sick. Not well. I think 2, and she died. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for the soul. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. It's the blood. The life is in the flesh. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Are you there? So you can, when you see a bowl full of somebody's blood and the person is lying down, the life is the one that is in there. What the reason why the flesh is down and dead is because the life has been poured into there. So now the life is actually in the bucket. That's what it means. It's not a joke. It's a real thing. The life is in the blood. Number 3. Because the blood contains the life of a person, it represents his life. That your real life is the blood. So blood, the blood you see is life. Your life is not how nice your face is. Your life is the blood in you is the life. And blood is life. You can't even manufacture blood. You can't really. There's no factory that makes blood. You buy it and then you put it in you. Or you infuse it into yourself. But there's nothing like that. It's the life of a person. There are a few things medical sciences have been able to make or replicate or produce. And you can't produce blood. They can make you take pills that will help you eat well so that the level of blood will multiply in you and increase, or whatever multiplies and generates blood will be done. Are you there? Hello? Your life is the blood. So your blood in the bowl is the life in the bowl. Number 4. Are you understanding why Naboth's blood is a type of blood, and we are getting to the place where Jesus' blood is also a type of blood that is precious? We are getting there. We are looking at the importance of blood. Look at this. The blood has been chosen by God as the only thing that can be offered to appease him and to atone for sins. He says that, "For I have given it to you upon the altar to atone for your souls." So what makes God happy? Let's go to Genesis. In the book of Genesis, two people went to make a sacrifice. One went with vegetables and another went with blood. If you go, there's a message prophet preached once, the religion of blood. And he talks about from Genesis all the way to Revelation. You realize that a lot of things and a lot of events turned when blood was introduced. In the garden, do you know what? Let me give you one thing you've not seen. When Adam and Eve sinned, God, blood is in every covenant. In every covenant, God actually has one of the seals of a covenant. Okay, there's something about a covenant, God's covenant. Most of the time, there's blood attached to it. When God comes, there's something that happens, and there's blood. The New Testament covenant, there's blood. There's always blood. Are you there? Yes. Let us look at Genesis. When God banned or banished Adam and Eve from the garden, what did he do? What did he do for them? Hello? What did he do for them? Who can tell me what he did for them? What did he do for them? No. I'm not talking about Cain and Abel now. We have passed it. I'm talking about that time. What did he do for them? Wow, Bible scholars are in the church. We have preachers. This guy, we should look for him after church. He has to be a fellowship leader. He used the word, say he slain. These are biblical words. He did what? And did what? The skin. You see, when you read the Bible, God covered them with the skin of animals. He didn't cover them. They covered themselves with leaves. But God covered them with the skin of animals. Something blood. To take the skin of an animal, you have to kill and skin it. When somebody says, I'll skin you alive, means that they will cut your back and remove the skin from your back. Have you heard that statement? I'm going to skin you alive. You know, animals are killed and they are skinned. But so I'll skin you alive. It means that you are alive and then they will cut your skin like that and then they will just tear it from your back. They will cut it. So God cuts the skin of the animal. Definitely there was blood. So because they had sinned, they covered them with blood. You know, God made a second covenant with them. Do you know that? Let's not go there. It's a, there's the first one. You see, when they sinned, he gave them a new covenant. There was a new one. Because the first one was without sin. He did another one with them. Let's not go into that now. Because it will take away our time. Right there in Genesis. You see, he made what? He made a coat of skin and clothed them. That's what he did. He gave them that. Put it around them. Blood around them. It's the skin around them. There must be blood. God likes, from Genesis, it has been revealed. And when Cain and Abel came to offer sacrifices unto God, one sacrifice was rejected. Do you know why? The rejection is not because what he brought was inferior or was. He took of what he had cultivated and brought to the Lord. But he knew what he was supposed to bring and he did not bring what he was supposed to bring. That is why he was rejected. They knew it. They knew it. They were both told what the Lord likes. And they did not. He did not bring that. He did not bring to the Lord a sacrifice with blood in it. That is why his sacrifice was rejected. Not because what he brought was not good. They were not rotten tomatoes. We don't read that in the Bible. Do you see that in the Bible? They were not rotten tomatoes. They were not rotten tomatoes. He brought the fruit of the ground, an offering. He just went to bring the fruits. But Abel, what is the difference between the two? We are not told anything, but how did Abel know? Sometimes you have to just learn this, just by the way. They were not supposed to, he was not supposed to bring. There's a type of offering maybe you are not supposed to bring. You bring the wrong offering. God wants blood. There's something costly, something whatever. You have to look at it. And his was rejected. And the blood was accepted. And he did not like it. Because God likes blood. Right from Genesis. And God told them right here, that it is the blood that I have set. God has set in other things. And he says that it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. It is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. For your soul. You know, the Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Do you know that? The soul that sins. No, you've not thought about it. You've not thought about it. Do you know where sin comes from? The soul. Really. Normally we say the flesh, but it's the soul. Your soul is your mind. Your will. Or your choices. When you willingly disobey him, and you start disobeying him from inside. And so when your mind chooses to think about the wrong things, when the Bible says that, when they knew God, that's with their mind, you knew God, they glorified him not as God. You rejected him as God. That's the first sin. That's why it's a sin. The soul. That's the soul. The sin of the soul. And he says that even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, that's the sin of the soul. You decided not to let God be in your mind. That's the sin of the soul. Your emotions, your choices. You make wrong choices. You know, rebellion is in the soul. Rebellion is when, you know, when you are a rebel, it's like your soul says, I know I have to do it, but I won't do it. Then you do the other one. You pick the other one. How many of you have chosen? You knew this is wrong, that you chose the other one. No, you didn't say it with your mouth, but you just did it. Lift up your hand. Yes. That is what I'm talking about. And that is rebellion. Rebellion is in the soul. That's where surrender. There's a lot of, if you've heard surrender, I surrender all. It's not your flesh you surrender. You surrender your soul. When your soul is surrendered to him, that is when your flesh will move. If your soul, your choices, your will, the choices you make, surrender your will, what you like, I want, surrender that to him, because Truly, it is what you like. You know, there are things I like, I can like, but I don't eat. I've surrendered them. There are things I can like, and I know I like, but I've surrendered them because when I take them, they can give me some reactions. So I've surrendered, in my mind, I've surrendered what I like. I've surrendered them. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there are things to surrender. And that is where the Bible says that the soul that sinned, the soul, your choices. So you are sitting down coolly, but your choices are wrong. Your will, what you will to do is wrong. It's in opposition to God. And that's why I say that it makes atonement for that rebellion in you. The wrong choices that your soul is making. The wrong mindset. Your mind is wrong. Your mind. Look at somebody say, your mind is wrong. Look at Romans chapter 1. Behold, Romans 1. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. It is so obnoxious to God. Your mind. The type of mind you have. God hates it so much that he will leave you because of how you are thinking. The way you are thinking is wrong. Tell somebody the way you are thinking is wrong. It is so obnoxious. It's a word. Tell somebody obnoxious. God hates it so much that your mind, it is not about how come. See, some people are sitting down like Queen Elizabeth. Look around. You see Queen Elizabeth. You sit down in a way. You feel that Queen Elizabeth is in there. But I tell you, God has given up on them because of how they are thinking. It's not about how you are sitting down. It's not about how calm. There are people who are calm talkers. Hello. Kai. God has repaired. They are something else. God hates you. God hates you because of how you are thinking. God says, I give up on you because of your thinking. We don't see. I have not come to open your mind to know what is there. God sees it. Your thinking is wrong. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You don't want to retain. Your mind is made to retain certain things and to reject certain things. And that's why the sinners. That's why the sinners. And that's why the soul. The Bible talks us. That's where the blood comes in. The blood of Jesus. The blood is able to deal with that mind. Sit down quietly. I could. So you don't look like you are even dangerous. But God sees you as a dangerous girl. Because of your mind. Very dangerous. Mercy. Let me continue. This place, as where I am now, we can stay here till we can do 1 hour here. Yeah. So God has made a provision for what can cleanse your mind. Your soul. There's nothing that can cleanse your soul. Atonement for the soul. Rebellion. Oh, you know, it's one of the things that me, myself, I'm working on myself. The rebellion, that I've seen where the rebellion is. Rebellion is in the soul. Little things you are supposed to give up that you don't give up. Those things are the rebellion God is talking about. Little things. Little things in you. And where you have to let it go. Let go of this for God. Let's choose for God. You rebel against the Spirit speaking to you and choose the other. That's called rebellion. That's the master rebellion. That is it. It's there in the soul. Ability to find those and let it go. You'll be able to walk with God in a certain way. That's one of the greatest keys to walking with God. You can be in church and be a master of rebellion. Because you don't accept God's things when he speaks to you. Like as I'm speaking to you, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. But you reject all of them when you go back and just go back to default, your way of life. And that's it. You reject God. Utterly reject God's things. And this rebellion. Amen. So the atonement for the soul is made through the blood. I'm telling you why the blood of Jesus is precious. Now, in the New Testament, we have a confirmation that only blood can save you. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22. The Bible says that for almost all things are by law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. You know, here he doesn't even say the blood of Jesus. I'm showing you why. Because so far I've not even specifically linked it. I'm just talking about blood, blood. Blood is important. From the Old Testament All the way through into the New Testament, we see how blood is important. And Moses got a revelation before medical sciences. The life is in the blood. Blood is used for atonement. And he talks about it, confirms it right here. Bam! In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Almost all things are by law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no forgiveness. Without blood, there's no forgiveness. There's no forgiveness for your soul. There's no forgiveness for the rebellion of the soul. I want my way. You know, human beings, our sins, it's not your the sin is your way, you're keeping to your ways. That's the sin. Write it down somewhere. Rebellion is in the soul. Write it. That's where the rebellion is. And so when you say, I surrender all, it's talking about surrendering your choices, your mind, your emotions, your will. That's where the real surrender is. I want to do this. And that's why God is sometimes happy. You know, everybody has ambitions. When you surrender it, when God speaks to you and you surrender your ambition to God. You know, one day, Reverend Eric, I was asking God why. I felt God likes me. I felt that God has shown me so much goodness. I really felt it. I said, God, why have you given me, shown me goodness? I felt God likes me. I was trying to find out, why do you like me? But I think the best I could get is that there's something in my life I did. I don't even know what it is. That I've made him like me. I don't know what it is. There's something. And I'm sure it has something to do with choices. It has something to do with that. I've been asking. I want to really know what. I can't tell you what. But the best I could get was that there's something I've done that has made him like me for some things. Yes. It has a lot to do with your choices and your ability to surrender to him. And that's where sin is. We don't surrender to him. Surrendering your things, and it comes from your emotion. I choose this despite this. I choose this. I choose God. I will go bend over backward to choose this. Although clearly everything on the outside points to this. I'm going here because God says I should go left. Everything looks right, but God says go left. You choose it. That's the place. That's the place. That's what God is looking for. That's why Jesus said, I laid down my life. I will take it up again. You have to lay it down yourself. Put it down. You have your life, but you take it as I'll put it down for you. I have my ways. I have my education. I'll put it down for you. I know I can. I know I'm also intelligent. I can also go to school. But I'm laying it down to go and work here. That will make me look foolish. I know I can have all these things, but I lay it down. And that's why some of you, even you marry the wrong person, because you see, this, you have the right to marry this person, but God doesn't like it. Nobody can stop you. You can go ahead, but that's rebellion. This type of person is not good for you. But you will not listen. You choose with your eyes. I like, I want, I take. I like, I want, I take. It's called rebellion. To let go. You can steal it. Nobody will see it, but will you steal it? Nobody will see. You will never be caught. But will you steal it? When you are tempted and you go back and say, no, I won't do it. You see, this one has nothing to do with that. It's not in, there's no CCTV, there's no view, public view. No, but it's something within. I choose this. It's okay, I won't do it. Because something in you, your choices, the choice, your soul has decided to just surrender to the Lord and look foolish. I rather look foolish. I don't have it. You could have stolen it to have it and show everybody that, yeah, I have it, but I won't have it because my soul will sin. I'll surrender to the Lord. I'll surrender to the Lord. Hallelujah. So, listen. For almost all things are by law purged with blood. The soul is only purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And that is why the Bible says in the scripture we read, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, for as much as we know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as what? Silver and gold. But with the precious blood of Christ. But with what? The precious blood. But with what? The precious. That is what brings salvation. That's why all the Naboth blood and all the other things cannot save us. But with the blood of Jesus Christ, we can have salvation. Amen. That's why the blood of Jesus is precious. It is the only blood that is written off as being able to redeem Lady Pastor Noel. This sister here, as you see her, she's also rebellious. Very rebellious. You see her like that. Everybody who knows her, are you not? She has even stopped church before. It's true or not true? She's here. She's even sinning as she's standing here. Said that she didn't stop, but she was also not around. Is it true or not true? She went on leave. Can you hear that? She was on leave. She was around, but she was on leave. God has forgiven you. Only God can make you come and sit here. Only God. Tell somebody, only God. Clap your hands for Jesus. Only God. She was on leave. She went on what? Leave. She went on leave. She said she didn't stop. She went on leave. And it's, I think it's the best description, actually. What I'm saying is that it is the blood of Jesus. I'm just saying that we are not so good. Listen to me. We are not so good. We all have faults. And the blood, that's why the first salvation, and by the way, now this is not even the forgiveness of your unbeliever, being an unbeliever into becoming a Christian. This is the forgiveness where the Bible says that if we walk in the 1 John chapter 1, you know, 1 John 1 verse 9, if walk in the light as he is in the light, 7:1-7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from what? Our sin. Cleanseth us from our sin. So this is the believer's forgiveness. That's, you see, we always quote the nine and ten is where we say that. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of. So he's talking to believers. The blood forgives again and again. So the blood actually forgives your past sins and has made provisions for sinners like this one. Operating sins. Sins as you're operating. When you go on leave and all that. When you're not supposed to go on leave. Are you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to me. That's why the blood is. There's nothing. I don't know what can forgive her. I don't know. You hear me tell this story over and over again. A man who, he took his bath for 120 hours. I heard the story from Billy Graham. And he entered the Guinness Book of Records. So maybe it's there. He went to sin and he was feeling sad. Very sinful. How many of you have sinned and you feel very dirty and sinful before? Good, good. Just like how you felt. That's how the man felt. He went into the shower. He was also staying in a country that the shower flows. The light, the shower flows. It comes. It comes. You don't need to lay hands. You know, one day I went into the shower. We used to fetch water up. And then we go and bath. I was Sabah Hall. C block, the C block, our washroom, man. Early morning, there are so many people bathing that the shower just goes off at a point. And the time I went, I knew the shower was going to go off. So we started. When I entered, I said, I will not bath. I'm going to lay my hands on this thing. The water should flow. I will not go and then fetch water. So I prayed. Can you imagine? We're in a country where you have to lay hands on the wall for the shower to flow. So I laid my hands. I said, I'm here. In fact, you know what I did? I put soap on myself. I said, so that I can't go anywhere. You will produce water for me. I was there. I was just standing there. I said, you. I spoke by faith. I laid my hands on the wall. You see where the pipe is. I said, you are produce water. I stood there. I said, you are coming. I said, it started. That is coming. That is what's coming. The water started flowing. Oh, yes, 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 yes. And I got water to bath and I finished. When I finished, when it gave me water and it finished, no, then they stopped again. I'm gone. Yes. He gave me water that morning. I finished bathing and I left. But this man was in a country that the water flows. So he went under the shower. He had soap. He started bathing 1 hour. He wanted to feel clean. He started bathing 2 hours, 3 hours, 10 hours, 15 hours, 100 hours, 120 hours. I wonder how many days continuous. He wanted to wipe away the dirt of his skin. Listen, they say, the Bible says, for almost all things are purged with blood. They are not purged with soap and water. All things are, almost everything is flesh with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ is that which will bring remission for your sins, my sin. It's only the blood that can. That's why the blood of Jesus is precious. It's more precious than the blood of the chicken you killed during the Christmas season. The goats you slaughtered. You didn't even look for their blood. You found somewhere to bury their blood. So this blood that will do nothing for me. But the blood of Jesus is precious enough. It's precious enough. Can come to you. Whatever sin you have committed, the blood of Jesus can cleanse you and make atonement. It's speaking for you. Say, hey, I'm here. Don't accuse that brother again. He has been redeemed. His sins are paid for. I'm standing here. Don't attack the brother again. In the name of Jesus. May the blood of Jesus speak for you. This is why the blood is precious. And that's why we must go forth, everybody, all of us. If you are into the fellowships, that's what we are. The essence of the fellowship is to speak more about the salvation of Jesus Christ. There must be, that's the center of everything that we are doing is Christ. The Jesus must be preached. Jesus Christ must be spoken of. The blood of Jesus must be told people. You must tell people about the precious blood, that the blood is important. That you need the blood of Jesus. That you must be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You must be redeemed by the blood of Jesus. You must be saved by the blood of Jesus. You must be restored by the blood of Jesus. Come on, clap your hands for Jesus and stand to your feet. Why? The blood of Jesus is precious. It's precious. The blood of Jesus is precious. Lift up your hands. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit lives within me. Because you died and rose again. Lift up your two hands. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken. Lift your two hands like this. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. I'm alive and well. Your spirit lives within me. All because you died. Everybody look at the sweat on the board and sing along. Lift up your hands. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. I'm accepted. You were condemned. Lift your two hands. I'm alive and well. And I'm alive and well. Your spirit lives within me. Because you died and rose again. Oh, amazing love. Amazing love. How can it be?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We believe that you have been truly blessed. Send a mail to Bishop Samuel at bishopsamuelbeidou@gmail.com. Introduce this podcast to a friend. Keep listening and live passionately for Jesus.